Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of God Gave Them Up. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1 verse 21 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
They became vain or futile in their thoughts. Whenever you start thinking thoughts that are in opposition to God's revealed word, know this: your thoughts are vain. They're futile. They're worthless. And they can only lead you in the wrong direction, and they can only ultimately lead you into a disastrous situation. So as they begin to speculate, notice the next step: their foolish hearts were darkened. It's a foolish heart that Paul says dismisses God. And when a man begins to dismiss God, what happens? His heart is darkened. And the word here could also be translated understanding. His understanding is darkened. And this is so obvious when you analyze it. When you look at the thought processes of the atheist, the agnostic, the skeptic, the opponent to the Word of God, you find that they're obviously darkened in their understanding because they can't really see things for what they are. We have today, you know, in our nation, we have a massive split in the culture and amongst the cultural leaders. One group of people known as conservatives who are essentially saying, we want to stick to the way things have always been, sort of. We like the way the founding fathers, in our case in particularly, we like the way they set up government. We like what they thought about human government, God's involvement in it, and so forth. That's a kind of a synopsis of conservatism. But now today, we've got a group that are putting themselves forth more aggressively as the progressives. But the crazy thing about the progressives is their name that they've taken to themselves is totally deceptive. Because when you look at their ideas, they're not progressive ideas at all. They're regressive ideas. History has already demonstrated numerous times over that their ideas don't work, that they're wrong ideas. But they are just, again, insisting that, you know, this is the direction that we need to go. So what's my point? My point is what Paul is saying right here is so obviously manifested in these kinds of people. Their foolish heart has become darkened. You know, anybody who thinks Marxism is a progressive idea, they're obviously got some brain issues. They've got some mental distortion. Because we've got plenty of examples in history where Marxism has failed. And it's failed not because it was the wrong people doing it, like they suggest. No, it's the system that's faulted. Marx was wrong. It's as simple as that. But we have professors all across this country in universities teaching Marxism, teaching that this is a superior philosophy, teaching that socialism is a superior way of living in society. So what can you say about it? I think, again, what Paul is saying is the case here. Their foolish hearts have been darkened. And then, of course, we can take it out of the philosophical realm and put it over in the realm of spirituality. I mean, just look at the substitutes that these guys who reject God, look at the things they come up with. I mean, to me, that's a foolish heart that's darkened. So nothing changes. It's the same as it was back in Paul's day. Their foolish heart is darkened. And then here it is, intellectual pride. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And all you have to do, if you want to get a good example of how this is working itself out in our generation, is read the theories that these guys come up with about origins, about, you know, all of these different kinds of things that we're talking about morals and everything else. It is absolutely astounding. They profess to be wise, but they come up with the most absurd, ridiculous types of things. And they try to put that off as intelligent. And if you're really smart, you'll go with us on this. And so professing to be wise, they became fools. And then verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. The truth of God for the lie. And the lie is basically that God is not God. That man is somehow God. That man is somehow ultimately in control of his destiny. That man is somehow ultimately the measure of all things. Now, thirdly, the apostle tells us how the wrath of God is presently being revealed. Remember in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Present tense, it's presently being revealed when Paul wrote it. And so we extrapolate out to today. It's still true today. But the question is, how is God's wrath being revealed today? How is it being revealed then? How is it being revealed today? And the answer is in verse 24, 26, and 28. Listen to what it says. "Therefore, God also gave them up." Verse 24. Verse 26. "For this reason, God gave them up." And verse 28. "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." This is how the wrath of God is being revealed. God gives men over to a debased mind. A debased mind is a mind that is void. It is void of moral truth. That's what a debased mind is. Now, let's not be mistaken. Sometimes people make a mistake. A debased mind is not a mind that can't be recovered, but it's a mind that remains void of truth as long as it resists submission to God. Now, the reason I say that is because some people, because in the context, as he's describing, you know, the immediate results of people being given up by God, he's describing homosexual behavior. And some people have wrongly concluded that a person who engages or, you know, gets involved in homosexual behavior, a reprobate mind is the old word. People have wrongly concluded, well, God's given up on them. It's over. There's no hope for them. Of course, that is not what Paul is saying. That can't be taken out of the biblical text. That's not what the scriptures teach, because we have other passages that Paul mentions the fact that people who formerly were homosexuals were now followers of Christ. So it's important that we, I think, be clear about that. But this is what God does. He gives men up. He allows them, because they do not like to retain him in their knowledge, because they've dismissed him, he then dismisses them. And he lets all of the potential wickedness that is resident in the human heart, he lets it begin to overflow. And that is in itself a judgment within a society. And we can look and see that so many of the problems in the world, you know, people talk about, oh, how could there be a God of love? Because look at all the suffering, all the misery, and all the hardship and everything. And but you know, most suffering, most misery, most hardship is caused by human beings toward one another. If you took the human element out, the suffering dramatically decreases. The problem in life dramatically decreases if you take the human factor out. So the bigger problem is men filled with sin and then being driven by their passions and their lust, perpetrating all kinds of horrible things on their fellow men. You think of what Stalin did to some 50 million of his countrymen. You think of what Hitler did. You think of what Mao Zedong did. You know, go over to North Korea today and look what they're doing there. Is God causing that? No. It's a man that has been given over and a nation that has rejected the knowledge of the true God. And all of this suffering then is the result of this. So this is what happens. God gives them up. And then it says in verse 27, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So again, in that immediate context, he's talking about homosexuality, but it extends beyond that. When a man errs, when he dismisses God, when he says that God is not worthy of his praise or worship or obedience, that man is erring. And he will ultimately then receive a penalty for that. And again, that will be the natural outworking of sin. Because, of course, the Bible says, what about sin? It says that sin, when it is full grown, it produces death. Sin always brings death in some way or another. And then, finally, the wrath of God is presently revealed in an overflow of wickedness. And look what it says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. So what Paul is describing here is a civilization, a culture, a society. He's talking about anarchy. He's talking about a lawless situation where sin is just flowing over like a boiling pot, and it's just flowing over, and it's bringing with it death and destruction wherever it goes. That is how the wrath of God is presently being revealed. Now, as we pointed out in our looking in detail at the whole subject of the wrath of God, there is a day coming when God will directly judge. He's not directly judging yet. He's indirectly judging by allowing this pot of sin to overflow. But there's coming a day when he will directly judge. But he talks about being filled. And notice now he goes on with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. And he just, this list here, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers. Now, we still thank God by his grace. I mean, you can certainly find this in places in our society. But thank God it's not all pervasive yet at this point. There's still perhaps a possibility that things could turn back, in at least to some degree, in another direction. But as we read from the Roman writers of Paul's period, it seemed that Rome itself had kind of almost come to the point of no return by the time Paul wrote that. But as we, you know, would look closely even at hearts and even to some extent at our own hearts, we find that these things are true, backbiters. Of course, we can find there are those who are haters of God and the proud and the boasters. And we think of those who invent evil things. Plenty of evil things have been invented. Disobedient to parents. An interesting thing, of course, there was a long time in our culture and kind of universally, really, where respect for parents, obedience to parents was something that was highly valued. It was taught. It was required, demanded. And yet today, that's no longer the case, isn't it? And so, undiscerning means without understanding, as we've already mentioned, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Boy, when I read these terms, I think of the Nazis, I think of the brown shirts, I think of the Gestapo, I think of the communists, and you know, this is exactly how they were. They were merciless, murderous beasts who just murdered for the sheer joy of it. And anybody who thinks that we've got some sort of a pass and that things could never go this way, the only reason why they don't go this way is because we haven't totally dismissed God yet. But if some people had their way, they would dismiss God, thinking in doing so they could finally develop that utopia. And you know what they would find? They would find the exact same thing that everybody else has found who sought to do that. That utopia turns out to be hell on earth. That's what it actually is. But listen, who knowing. Now, in these verses, Paul has said over and over again, one of his major indictments is that people know what they're doing. He said they know in suppressing the truth, they know what's right, but they ignore it so they can do wrong. He says they knew God, but they didn't want to glorify him as God. And now he says this, he says knowing, these people that he's describing, he says they know the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death. They know it. But listen, they not only do them themselves, but they approve of those who practice them. Now, there's a lot of people that wouldn't do certain things, but they approve of what other people do. They promote what other people do. Now, here, Paul says strong words. He says they're worthy of death. Now, he's not talking about death in the sense of, you know, line them all up and shoot them. He's talking about death in the sense of judgment. He's talking about death in the sense of damnation. Everybody's worthy of death. That's what he says. He's not singling out any particular person. He's basically saying that anyone who practices any of these things, unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, all the way down the line, he says these are worthy of death. And again, he's not calling Christians to rise up and kill people. And Christians have never in the history of the Christian faith risen up and killed people because they were living immoral lives or anything like that. This is all a fabrication by these people. But this is where things are at in our culture. You know, Christians, anybody who believes that certain things are wrong, they're the bad people. This is what we've come to. Now, in closing, here's what we need to remember. This miserably wretched world that Paul is describing is the world that Jesus came to save. This is the world that he came to save. This place, Rome, that was described by Seneca and Juvenal and Virgil and all of these other Roman writers that we referred to, This is the place where Paul said, I am happy to come. I'm excited about coming to this place because I'm coming with the gospel of Christ that is the power of God to salvation. And so this is what we can't lose sight of. We cannot lose sight of the fact that the gospel is the thing that turns this back in the right direction. And even though we're living in a culture that is to a large degree attempting to dismiss God, you know what? One soul at a time, that can be turned around. God can do it. Because there's lots of people that were atheist, that were hostile to God, that were caught up in every vile vice and perversion and crime and sin and everything else, that are now followers of Jesus. And they're not only following Jesus, but they're seeking to bring other people to follow the Lord. You know, we've got so many great examples of that. This is the world that the gospel has the power to affect. This is the world. We don't need a Christian culture to have the gospel prosper. Because if you haven't figured it out already, Rome was not a Christian culture. It was about as opposite of that as you could possibly get. See, here's the wrong thinking. The wrong thinking is that because we've lost our traditional values, because we're no longer sticking with the plan of the forefathers, because they're ignoring the Constitution, because liberalism is taking over the world, we're sunk. No, we're not sunk. We're just getting ready to fight. This is what the gospel is for. These are the people that the gospel comes to and transforms. Look, the gospel is never going to take over the whole world until Jesus comes back and sets everything right. We need to understand that. We're never going to turn the country around in the sense that we're going to have a born-again Christian sitting in the White House and 100 born-again senators there making legislation and 400 whatever, you know, Congress people. It's not going to happen. And if we think that, we're just deluded. But it's okay if it doesn't happen, because it doesn't change the power of the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God to salvation. And so remember, it's the world that Jesus came into. It's the world the apostles went out to. And let me just add one more dimension to it. It's more and more a picture of the world that we live in, but it's also this, and we can never forget this. It's when we forget this that we lose sight of the whole point and purpose and power of the gospel. It's when we forget that this is a picture of each one of us to some degree. Read yourself into Romans 1. You're in there somewhere, I guarantee it. And probably in more places than one. But you're no longer there, are you? Why? Because of the gospel. And just like the gospel reached you, it can reach others who are filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality and all of those other things that Paul mentions here. And so again, just in closing, his whole purpose here is to show why the gospel is man's only hope. It's man's only hope. It's his only hope here and now. And of course, it's obviously his only hope in the future. Because no one will ever escape the wrath of God unless they flee the wrath to come by hiding under the blood of the Lamb. That's the place to flee. That's the protection. That's the deliverance. That's where salvation comes, and that's what the gospel is all about. The good news that God punished all of these wicked, vile, corrupt, perverted deeds, he punished them already in the person of Christ. And if we come to Christ, we are forgiven, cleansed, born again, given a new life and a new opportunity to glorify God.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Judgment According to Truth. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled God Gave Them Up. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0108. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.